Blog Talk Radio.
Oh,
Oh, good morning. Good afternoon. Hello out there. This is Apostle Angela H. Davis Billings, live on the air, The Secret Place. That was by my dear friend, Dr. LaWanna Harrod. Hello out there to you, LaWanna. God bless each and every one of the listeners today, those that are going to catch us online. I just speak blessings over you in the name of Jesus. And I have a wonderful, just wonderful special guest today, and that is my darling mother, First Lady, wonderful woman of God, Evangeline M. Davis. And I am on air live from Norfolk, Virginia, from my parents' home. And I just greet every one of you out there. Having a little difficulty with Skype this morning, this afternoon, so I'm not sure. I can't see if you're out there. So give me an instant message on Facebook. If you are on the air, I'm going to open up my chat, and that way I can see if you're out there. If you want to respond to anything you're hearing, just send me chat message or inbox me. That probably will be the only way I will be able to connect with you this morning. So prayerfully, you'll get to hear me, and you'll get to send in your questions or your responses to us on today. We have a wonderful, wonderful lesson, a wonderful topic, and so I'm very excited about that. And we're talking about M&Ms. I know you're out there saying, "Oh, I love M&M candy," but we're talking about M&Ms, Mary and Martha. And I see I have a call from Dr. Harris. If you just give me one quick second, let's see if she's trying to get on the air with us today. I'm going to hand that to Dr. D. And our Dr. D is here with us as well in Norfolk, Virginia. We're going to hear from her in a little bit. But our topic, I'm going to go over the topic, and then we're going to have prayer, and we're going to have a scripture reading, and which we're coming out of the book of Luke. And I believe we're going to be in chapter 10 and verses 38 through 42. So we're going to talk about these two M&Ms, Mary and Martha. And we're dealing with juggling life, especially as women of God. We're juggling housework and careers, family, marriage, ministry. And how do you do all of that and still find that place in worship with the Father daily? And this is what was going on with the scene at the home of Mary and Martha. And, of course, their brother, Lazarus. But we're dealing with Mary and Martha. And it's not that, well, we won't go into too much. I'm going to come back with that. But I just want you to think about the times that we have to juggle as women, you know, of God. And we have so many hats to wear. And sometimes we feel like it's not enough of us to go around. If I just had another Angela, or if I just had another Cindy, if I just had another one of me to help me out of my house, to help me out on my job, to help me out with everything I'm doing, because my heart is after God. I worship God with my whole heart, but God, I just need a little help sometimes. Sometimes we're there, and it's not always that we have husbands. It could be single parents. Just, you know, hey, you might not even have a child, but you have a job, you have a career, and you have your house, and you have your school, and all kinds of things is going on, but then we still have to find that place in worship. And we're going to talk about that today and be encouraged by wonderful women of God. My mother, Evangeline M. Davis, she's the First Lady of Christ Pentecostal Church. My dad is Bishop Moses L. Davis Sr., and we're here in Norfolk, Virginia, to encourage them. And so at this time, I'm going to turn it over to Dr. Dee Davis White, my wonderful sister, and you have heard her before, and she's going to just greet us quickly and then just invoke the presence of the Lord. She's a warrior after God. I mean, she is a powerful apostle of worship. This is her kind of topic, talking about finding your place in worship. So I'm going to turn it over to her, and we're going to go into prayer, and then we're going to go into the scripture and just dig deep today, ladies. Let's get your questions out there. Like I said, inbox me. I see we have a call coming in from the 240 area code. Thank you so much for calling in. And right now we're going to have prayer. Here's Dr. Dee. She's going to just invoke the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah.
Well, bless the Lord. The best place to be is at the feet of God. We know, I love this topic, Eminem, Mary and Martha. And let me just say right there before we go into prayer that it wasn't that Martha was wrong in serving, but we just want to be at the feet of Jesus. Worship the Lord. That's where I am at, to worship the Lord. It's an exciting topic. I can't wait to hear all that God has given Apostle Angela. But I want to say right now, we invoke the praises of God. We love the Lord. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. He is worthy to be praised. We love the Lord today. We are women that love him. Royal women that love our God, and any man that's listening on the line, we love the Lord, unified together to worship him in the beauty of holiness. David said, oh, come and magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Yes, I am a warrior of worship. I love his name more than anything in the world, more than dreams, possibility, ministry, but to be in the practice of the Lord is a wonderful thing. Hallelujah. Because David said in Psalm 16:11, in thy presence there is a fullness of joy. God bless today. I'm excited to be here at the home of my parents. What a legacy. What a legacy. We're going to have a great day. Here's Apostle Angela. Fasten your seatbelt because we're going for a ride straight to the throne of God.
Hallelujah to God. Well, bless the name of the Lord. I pray that you have been thrusted this morning, this afternoon, with the praises of the Lord. Hallelujah to God. I just thank the Lord for those that are coming on the air with us, and I speak blessings of abundance upon your life. And we're just honored to have my mom here with us today. And that was my sister, Dr. Dee Davis White. And I tell you, we're just on a caravan of holiness from Alabama to Norfolk. And we are so excited about all of the stops that we made, the Holy Ghost rest stops. And right there, I'm going to give a shout out to Raleigh, North Carolina. Hi, Raleigh. And how wonderful. We have just had a wonderful time in Raleigh, North Carolina, coming here to Norfolk, and we're giving a shout-out to Durham, North Carolina. Thank you, Durham, for allowing the women of God to come into your home and just be in a place of rest and soaking in the presence of the Lord. And we just thank God for Prophetess Veronica. Is that correct, Dr. Dean? And we thank God for her, for opening up her home of rest to us to recuperate and get strength and just soak in the presence of the Lord before we got back on the road. And so we're just really blessed. But like I said, today we have a wonderful topic, and it's coming out of the book of St. Luke, chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. And we see that Martha, she needs help from her sister. And if you have a sister out there, you know how it is when you're doing something in the home and the guest is present. Everybody is trying to be in the kitchen together. But sometimes there's a worshiper, and she finds herself leaning towards that guest. You want to hear more. The guest happens to be Jesus. And she leans toward the need of the Savior. So let's read St. Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. serve alone? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. One thing is needful. Mary has chosen the good portion, or the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Praise the name of the Lord. So we have a situation here. We have Mary laying at the feet of Jesus, serving him. We have Martha preparing a meal for Jesus, serving him. But one part is needful. Let's talk about that. Hallelujah to God. One part is needful. Jesus told her she's concerned about many things. You know, you got a lot of stuff on your mind. Maybe that was like, come on out here so I can ease your troubled mind. Well, bless the Lord. I'm going to bring my mother in right here, and she could just share whatever's on her heart about this topic, about juggling things in the house. I got to cook dinner for my family. I got to go to work. I need to go to church. I need to go and worship. I got praise and worship rehearsal tonight. Oh, how do I do all of that? How do we do all of that, Mom, and still find our place at the feet of Jesus, worshiping him? Amen. For First Lady Evangeline M. Davis.
First, I'd like to say praise the Lord to all of you, all listeners out there. It's just good to be here with my daughter, Prophetess Angela Billings, and Dr. D. And I just like to say on this topic, juggling all these things is very hard. And it is very hard because most of the women out there now, they have jobs outside of the home, and they're juggling all these many things that the prophetess was talking about. And some of you, if you are not working, it is still hard to juggle all the things that you have to juggle. But, you know, ladies out there today, I think a lot of times we're too hard on ourselves. And we put too many expectations, or maybe society has put too many expectations on us. And we try to be perfectionists. And you can't set yourself up to be a perfectionist. You have to prioritize. Of course, we have to ask the Lord to help us in everything we do with our daily living. But you must prioritize, not try to be a perfectionist. Then not be so hard on yourself, because you're human and you're subject to human faults. So we have to try to really do the very best we can without putting too much expectations on ourselves. And, you know, we're always talking about Prophetess Billings, the work
mm-hmm.
of the Lord.
Yeah.
Here we see an occasion right here in what you were talking about. Eminem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mary and Martha.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what was really the work of the Lord there?
Mm-hmm.
What was really the work of the Lord?
The work of the Lord was tending to the needs of Jesus.
But we have one
mm-hmm.
who attended the needs of mm-hmm. the Master.
Mm-hmm.
We have one who was so distracted
mm-hmm.
by other things
yes.
that she missed out.
Yes.
And I'm afraid, ladies, that we miss out a lot of times because we are distracted.
Distracted.
And we can't figure out what is the work of the Lord, or where we should be, or what we should be doing at a given time.
Yes.
And we can go to one or two extremes, probably.
Mm-hmm. That's right. One or two extremes.
And we find out a lot of times we're not doing the work of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about Prophetess Billings. What is the work of the Lord?
Okay. Because we know as women of God, we're to take care of our homes.
Right.
And we look at Titus to tell us how the aged women will teach us those things and how to be keepers of home and how to serve and how to be pleasing to our husbands and, and raise up our children, train them up in the ways they should go. So we know that's doing what God is requiring us to do, but we also have to have a place of worship where we go to God about everything to give us the strength, the understanding of how to do those things. And so without that, we're going to leave out a big piece of our life, of God. Because if we just continue to, I got to go to work. Yes, it is.
Yes.
It's relevant to have a job and have income coming in and all of that, all of those things. But how do I do that? Do I work and take the scripture literally in my life and say, I'm going to work while it is day? Because night comes with no man can work.
No.
Do we twist the scripture and just be a workaholic and forget our family and forget? Okay.
We have to balance things.
That's right.
And that can be very hard.
Yes, it
to
can.
To get that much-needed balance that we need.
Mm-hmm.
Because I found it so. And still at being 79, and I have retired.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still a lot of things that I have to juggle, and I have to prioritize, and I have to do it with the Lord's help. For one thing, we don't turn over everything to the Lord. We turn over certain things to the Lord.
Uh-huh.
See what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
We pray about some things, but it's some things we don't consult the Lord about.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right?
Uh-huh.
But we have to get up in the morning, and I have found things will go smoother for you if you invite the Lord in on your schedule.
Mm-hmm.
And you pray to him about everything that you're doing. I mean each and everything.
That's right.
I have a friend who goes in the store, and she prays before she does her shopping. She prays over what she's going to do or what she's going to cook. And that might sound a little ludicrous to some of you all, but this is very important that we give the Lord everything, everything to God in what?
In prayer.
So I think that's one thing we ask the Lord to come in on our schedule.
Yes.
But we make that schedule and say, I'm going to do this today. We don't even put the Lord anywhere in it.
Uh-huh.
My mother used to say, if it's the Lord's will.
Mm-hmm.
Or if the Lord says so.
That's right.
But we set up ourselves saying what we are going to do.
Mm.
I'm going to go to work.
Right.
I'm going to do this.
Right.
So we're setting ourselves up for some failure right there because we really haven't included the Lord in our schedule.
That's right.
Make our schedule the night before.
Mm-hmm.
Invite the Lord in on that schedule.
Yes.
And ask the Lord to help you to do these things.
Yes.
And I think you will find the day will go much smoother.
Mm-hmm.
When you don't invite the Lord in, you can't help but have chaos.
Right.
And you're trying to juggle all these things. And then you don't even know the work of the Lord when the work of the Lord is right in your nose.
Mm-hmm.
The work of the Lord could be right in your home, but you're thinking the work of the Lord is at the church house.
Mm-hmm.
So we're just off. We're at one extreme or the other extreme, like M&M.
Right.
Like Mary and Martha.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't know where you're supposed to be or what you're supposed to be doing at a given time.
So right there, what you're saying, sometimes we can be out of time and out of balance in our thinking and our ways that we perceive the work of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes people can do so much work in the church, but not really the work of the church.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing church work, busy work, but not making an impact in the lives of the believers, in the lives of men, in the lives of the people of God. And because we could just be so busy at doing so much and maybe not really do one good thing. You know, like I have seen people so busy with working in the church, they're not even smiling at you when you come to the door, come through the door.
No, because they're too exhausted by that time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
By that time.
Mm-hmm.
They're exhausted and stressed out.
Wow.
And so then, they have a shortcoming right in that area because then all they've done, they're not even able to greet you with a smile.
Exactly.
or some of the women are so tired from all this juggling, they can't even give their husband a smile.
Mm-hmm.
They can't even give their children a smile.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're so into everything has to be so immaculate.
Right.
They host a big party, for instance, and they knock themselves out so much that when the guests come,
mm-hmm.
they can't even smile.
Right.
Because they're so tired. They miss the whole point
mm-hmm.
of the hospitality.
Right.
And I think we're missing the whole point
mm-hmm.
in our lives now by the way we are conducting our lives as women.
Yes.
We have to lean on the Lord and ask the Lord to come in on these schedules. We cannot possibly juggle all the things we have to juggle as women alone.
Yes.
Without God.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm afraid we are trying to pursue a lot of things really without God.
Mm-hmm.
Because we really don't invite the Lord in on every aspect of our lives.
Yes.
I'm afraid now in some things I'm guilty of that.
Mm-hmm.
And then we wonder why we're so stressed or our nerves are so strained or we are so frayed and we're so exhausted. We really haven't asked the Lord to come in on this and given him this schedule.
Mm-hmm.
And say, Lord, help us to juggle all these things.
That's right.
And then we're so hard on ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And it's no need of thinking you can be a perfectionist.
That's right.
Perfectionists will burn out.
So what do you say to that one or those that are living that kind of life? They want everything to be perfect, including mm-hmm. the white carpet on the floor,
no.
and they have two dogs, and they don't want the dog to walk on the carpet.
Something has to go.
Uh-huh.
Something has to go. The first thing about it, you don't need that white carpet there.
Right.
I know people
mm-hmm.
that they don't want people to sit in the living room.
Mm-hmm.
You march through the house and go back somewhere else
mm-hmm.
to sit because the living room is so immaculate.
Right.
Now, I think you're bordering on a little bit of worshiping the wrong things then.
Mm-hmm.
You've gone to way to another extreme. Way to another extreme.
Right.
You're worshiping your home.
That's right.
You're worshiping your house. You're worshiping your things.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And then you're setting yourself up for stress and failure because you can't possibly keep this white carpet the way it should be.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you work on it every day, 24/7.
24/7.
And then you're going to have, you're going to choose to have two dogs and then the dogs can't walk on it.
No, they better not walk on it.
You have 4 or 5 kids and then you're going to be screaming at the kids.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody's going to be miserable.
Everyone.
You're going to make everyone miserable.
Mm-mm-mm.
So you're not making wise choices.
Right. Amen.
You have to make wise choices in housekeeping.
Yes.
Wise choices. And then there are times you have to let something go.
Mm-hmm.
You can't be this immaculate
superwoman.
Superwoman.
Yeah.
You can't do that. Sometimes you have to smell the roses. You know what
mm-hmm.
I mean by smell the roses?
Take a moment.
You may have to let a little just go.
Okay.
And take the kids to the park.
Right.
And say, well, I'm not worrying about that bed right now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm not worrying about that little bit of dust right now.
Right.
Because my mom used to say, a man, and my grandmother used to say it too, a man
mm-hmm.
works from sun to sun.
Yes.
But a woman's work is never done. And that simply means even at night when we are ladies
yes.
out there,
uh-huh.
the dust is settling.
Settling.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Mm-hmm.
The cobwebs are forming.
Yes.
You have to do the same thing. You can do the same thing every day.
Mm-hmm.
That's what makes it so stressful for us ladies because we are into the same thing every day. So it's always something to be done.
That's right. Always something to be done.
So how are you going to do it with all these
mm-hmm.
things that you are juggling? How are you possibly going to do it and be the superwoman that we want to be, have this immaculate home that we want? All these things you want to do, it can't be done. Sorry, lady.
That's
it can't
right.
be done.
Tell us about it, Mom.
It can't be done.
Mm-hmm.
Something has to give you, and you're never going to be totally satisfied with what you're doing. You're never going to be totally satisfied. So you really give it to the Lord and find out who you are.
Mm-hmm.
Who you are in Christ, who you are as a woman.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to seek the Lord about that. Then you will become satisfied. Now we are not satisfied with ourselves. There's always something that we feel needs to be done. Right, Prophet?
That's right. That's right. We always think, we're always looking at, okay, I need to do this, I need to do that.
Yeah.
Even myself, and I have to say mm-hmm. this, on this trip, this time here to Virginia, I've taken some time out for myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to tell you, my mom and I were getting ready to really get real and laugh here. Because normally when I come to town, I've been here since Saturday. I have normally fixed dinner I don't know how many times over. Well, today was my first day fixing anything. I fixed breakfast.
Thank God.
My mom said, thank God. And because I was so tired from juggling, and I've been doing everything and keeping a home. I know some of y'all out there can't hardly believe that a prophet of God or apostle of God is making biscuits and cleans the toilet and all that. Yes, I do. I don't have a maid coming into my home. Those that can afford that and have people that come in and serve you like that, I'm so happy for you. But get happy for me, and maybe they'll come into my life. But right now, that's not the case. And so I still have those things to do. I still have clothes to wash. I still have dishes to clean. I still have all of that to do, plus take time to go before the Lord and minister. And my mom is really enjoying this moment that when I'm confessing, because there's some things that I could be doing here too. And you know, and so tending to my husband's needs, I love my husband, and I love tending to his needs. But there's a balance in everything. You can't leave yourself out of the mix. Ladies, we cannot leave ourselves out and think that we can serve everyone else and tend to everyone else, and then when it comes to us, there we are falling asleep in the tub because we're just that drank. We can't even enjoy the bubble bath. It's like, oh, did I have a bubble bath? Where are the bubbles? The bubbles are gone. It's the next day. And it's just like it should have been a relaxing time, but it's like more of, oh, let me hurry up and take that. You know, it's not even a relaxing moment.
Yeah, I was going to discuss that with them. Take
for their hold on, Mommy, because it looks like I need to get a charge on this phone.
Is anybody out there?
Oh, yeah, there's people out here. And so just give us a second here. Mom, would you just talk about that while I get the cord? About juggling. Take your time for yourself. And not feeling guilty about it.
Don't feel guilty about taking time for yourself. You need to take time for yourself. It makes you a better person, a better mother, a better wife. You won't be as stressed and as exhausted, and you won't be as short-tempered with the kids, as short-tempered maybe with your husband, because you're so tired. Take time and smell the roses. Take a bubble bath, like the prophet has said, and remember the bath. Like she was saying, don't be so tired that the next day you say, well, did I really take a bath? Because you vaguely remember. You're just getting in there then, but you're rushing to get out because you're thinking, I've got another dish to wash. I haven't washed dishes. Oh, my goodness. I forgot to put the cat out. I forgot to put the dog out. So you're still rushing, but you want a relaxing bubble bath. And maybe a nice cup of Lipton tea or Sweet Dreams tea. Have some music on. But, of course, don't let that radio get near the water now. Be sure of that.
Mm-hmm.
No electrocution going on.
Yes, that's right. Mm-hmm. So, basically, it's like this, okay? We need to take time out for,
mm-hmm.
you know, for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I said, this trip in, you know, and I see we have another call, and like I said earlier, please come on the chat and post your comments. I'm opening up a chat window right now because I'm not actually with my Skype right now. so I can't, like, pull you on to the conversation manually. So if you could come in on the chat, that would be a blessing. And we can chat there, or you can inbox me, or come on the Facebook chat, and you can post your questions there. So like I was saying, just trying to pull up some things right here. But like I was saying, I had to get to a place where I took time out for myself on this trip. Like I said, I normally come in to home and I'm cooking dinner. I'm catching up on some things, you know, like that. I might see if my mom needs some curtains down. And me saying that now, she's going to tell me to take them down, y'all.
Amen.
And so, you know, so anyway, I normally am doing things like that. But like I said, today was my first day preparing a meal. I fixed breakfast. I made some biscuits this morning. And I looked at my mom. She was in the kitchen. I said, Mama, I said, I guess you were looking at me like, what in the world is going on with me? I said, because I haven't made the breakfast. I haven't made anything since I've been here since Saturday. I said, Mom, you know that it's not like me. She said, I was looking like, I guess that she's been in a cage and she's free and happy. And I've had a lot of situations going on personally in my life with our children, just a lot of things that's been going on. And so I have been so resting when I got here, and I thought I thought that I would go and catch up on some friends from high school and try to find my friends and things that I normally don't do because my family is here with me and it's five of us and I'm tending to them and making sure everybody's having a good time, going to the beach or whatever, and we're still doing that family thing. And so this time I said, okay, it was just me and my older sister coming, and I said, I'm going to look up some of my friends. And I did, and I was so blessed last night. I went to one of my friends from high school, went to her home, met her children. And it was just such a beautiful thing. We haven't seen each other since high school, and that was in 79. It was the last time I saw her. And so when I saw her, she had a need in her life. And that's where we come at here. There was a needful portion that she had to receive. And, you know, I laid hands on her, prayed for her, came against a lot of conditions in her body. And she felt so much better. I'm going to see her again, God willing, Monday. And I hugged her. She hugged me. And it was such a wonderful thing. So tomorrow I'm going to catch up with the other one of our group. I've seen two. Well, so you know how you have people that it's just in your life and you hang out together and you do things together. The first movie you saw, you were together. And just things as though those were my best friends in school, in high school. And so normally I don't catch up with them. That's that taking time out for you. They wanted to see me just as much as I want to see them, but I didn't take the time out. I still, when I came here, I was still doing things with my family, and that's a good thing to do. But sometimes you have to take time out for yourself and say, what is it that you really want to do? And it's going to make you a better person. And when you get back home to your family and what have you, you're going to have even more to pour out to them because you're becoming a better person yourself. And that's what I wanted to share with you today, to find that place in worship daily. Because even though I went to see my friend, the Father was there. I prayed for her. I ministered to her. But we laughed and we talked about the times that she used to beat teachers down. Yes, she's a missionary now, and I told her, you can beat the devil now. Now you can beat on the devil. I said, don't lose the fight. Beat the devil down now. But she was just like that. She protected her friends. If we were crying about anything, or we said someone bothered us, or we said the teacher was unfair, or something happened, she would just go in the classroom the next day and punch the teacher dead in the face. Okay, I can hear y'all out there. What? Guess what? I was in high school. Don't judge me. She would do that, so we had to watch what we told her, because that's what she knew, the fight. So she just came up like that. overflowed, you know, and God will use that. And so we still have to find that place in worship in our daily life, you know. And so that's what we want to do. We want to find our place in worship. We want to give ourselves over to the Father and make sure that we ask him, like my mom said, First Lady Evangeline M. Davis, like my mom just said, make sure you ask the Father about everything you do. That's that scripture, in all thy ways acknowledge him. He shall direct thy paths if you trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to our own understanding. Then we'll be able to acknowledge him. But that's our area that maybe we get hindered in, is trusting him with everything. Do you agree with that, Mom? Mm-hmm. You know, and so it's very important to take time out for ourselves, women of God. You are a woman of royal destiny. You are royalty. Although we have all of these things to juggle, and if you could see some of the pictures on our page, on our Blog Talk page about this topic, there's a picture of my mom, myself, my mom and dad, and then there's a picture of someone juggling. And then there's a picture depicting Mary at the feet of Jesus. So look at those pictures on the Wake Up to Royalty, blogtalkradio.com/wakeuptoroyalty, and you will see the pictures that goes along with this broadcast today. And, you know, sometimes we are that person that's juggling. At one time, and the reason I have the pictures the way I have in succession, it's a picture of myself, and I'm looking to the right. But behind me, there is a picture, it's a picture of the names of Jesus. And it's behind my head for a reason. Because every word I want to wear is the helmet of salvation. And that's why it's at my head. And when we call on Jesus, he will answer prayer. We can call him in the morning. We can call him in the noonday. We can call him at night. We can call him throughout the day. He will answer us. And I hear a lot of people say, it might be yes, it might be no, it might be maybe, but he'll answer. I'm going to tell you something. It's still an answer. I want to be, and I will be, in the will of the Lord. I want his mind on my life, what I'm doing right now, his thoughts on my life and what I'm doing right now, his ways on my will and my life right now. I want his will. And so he's at the very forefront of my mind. When we wake up in the morning to royalty, how do we wake up in the morning to royalty? We wake up in the morning to royalty with our mind stayed on Jesus. We go to bed with our mind stayed on Jesus. So when we wake up to royalty, being the royal priesthood of God, we wake up with a mind to do the will of the Father, with the mind of a worshiper, worshiping him for who he is, not getting up, I need this, I need that, I need this. No, Father, I love you this morning. Holy Ghost, good morning. You know, Benny Hinn came out with a book, Good Morning, Holy Spirit. And a lot of times we don't acknowledge the Holy Spirit. We hear people saying, thank you, Jesus, thank you, God, thank you, Father, thank you, Lord. But we don't hear, good morning, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, breathe on me. Holy Spirit, direct my path today. He is here to lead and guide us to all truth. He's our teacher in the earth. And so we acknowledge the Holy Spirit today to lead and guide us to all truth. So we come as worshipers this morning, this afternoon. We come as a true worshiper. For all that we juggle, all that we do, we go to him and we worship him. We worship the Lord. And so that's what I wanted to share today. I'm so sorry that you're not able to call in and share your thoughts, but you can chat and text me. You can pull up on my Facebook inbox or my instant message chat, and you can share. So if you want to say, oh, I'm going to share something. I won't say her name, but I'm going to share something on this instant message. And it's so beautiful. First of all, I hear, Lord, help us balance. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to read that. Lord, help us balance. Matthew 6:33, and it says, first ye seek the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. If we don't seek him, how do you know it should be added in your day? You better think about that. You better think about that. And then she says, I'm going to give mama an offering. I'm allergic to roses. I'm kidding. She says, set a pattern in God, and he'll make it plain. Oh, my, I'm going down. Move me into better. Yes, that's a conference coming on. Move me into better. And she says she's going down because of something that we were just sharing. And, you know, I thank God for all of you that have been just wonderful supporters of the ministry, and to my dear friend Fanny, thank you so much for calling in and being there. And if anyone has any questions, just put it in my inbox or on my chat on Facebook, and we will address that. I extended our time today because I wanted us to be able to speak as long as we wanted to and share the purpose of our topic today, which is Eminem, Mary and Martha. And, you know, I love to cook. I'm a caterer. I have a passion for cooking, but it's not greater than my passion for worship. Oh, did y'all hear that one? Mm-hmm. It's not greater. Although it's probably nothing I can't prepare or fix or create in the kitchen. I make my boast in the Lord, for he has gifted these hands to create sumptuous, luscious, wonderful meals. But it's not greater than my passion for worshiping the Father. It's not greater. But because of him, the greatness comes out in my cooking. It's all because of the Lord. It's not me, but it's God. He's in me. He's given me creativity. He's given me the ability to think, get three ingredients and make a wonderful dish and all of that. He's given me that gift. And so I worship him with it. And so when the men and women of God, they eat the food from my hands, they feel the anointing of God over them. They feel the anointing of God. Because it's anointed. It's anointed food. And I have this thing I say all the time. When people have their church and they have meals and they have a fellowship, my thing is, why aren't the fivefold ministers in the kitchen? Since with that great anointing that they have, with preaching and evangelism and all of that, where's the anointed food? Because recently, I was alerted that a wonderful pastor got food poisoned in the hospital. He ate out at a restaurant. Where are the women of God that will go back into the kitchen? Don't get quiet out there on me now. Some of us have felt like we've graduated from that, and that's beneath us. And please, I wish she would ask me to cook. Huh, I'm a woman of God. I'm a prophet of God.
Cook at home.
Huh? What'd you say, Mama?
You don't cook at home now, you know. When they tell me I don't cook.
Uh-huh.
What's that?
Uh-huh.
I don't cook. What does the kids eat?
Right.
What's going on?
My mother is saying that women of God are telling her they don't cook at home. And so she's wondering, well, how do the children eat then? If they're not cooking, how does the husband eat? What's going on with that area? And I see it a lot. Someone kind of snuffed their nose at me recently when I said I was preparing a meal at home, and they were like, you still cooking? You're an apostle of God. You're still cooking? And I said, yes, and it's the best food. And you better believe my husband's not looking to go anywhere else.
Mm-hmm. My mom said, set the table at home.
That's sad, Mama.
Set the table at home. Then he won't go anywhere else to eat.
All right. Set the table at home, and then he won't go anywhere else to eat. And, you know, she said her mother said that, which is my grandmother. And one day, my grandmother asked me, she said, you know, your husband is traveling a lot. I said, yes, ma'am. She said, did you feed him?
Mm-hmm.
I said, yes, ma'am. I said, I fixed some chicken, and I was telling her all the stuff I put in his picnic basket for him to go on the road from Detroit, Michigan, to Philadelphia, King of Prussia, right outside of Philadelphia, King of Prussia, Pennsylvania, Valley Forge area. And I said, yes, ma'am. I said, I packed him a cooler with all his stuff and his beverages in there. And I packed him a dry goods bag with his cereal and stuff in there. And I packed him his chicken and his boiled eggs and his, all this stuff. I was telling her, and I made sandwiches. She wasn't talking about that.
Well, of course not.
She said, I said, did you feed your husband?
Mm-hmm.
I said, yes, ma'am. And she said, because you know there's rest stops on the way.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And, and then there's restaurants all down the road. So I was trying to figure it out because I knew I just said I had packed all their food. So she said, there's rest stops and restaurants on the way. And you don't want him to stop and eat.
Mm-hmm.
So I kept thinking about that. And she said, so did you feed your husband? I said, oh, yes, ma'am.
That's right.
So basically,
take care of him at home.
Basically, what's going on, a lot of people are not really serving and tending to the needs of their husband if they have a husband. They're on the road ministering. They're doing all this work they say for the Lord.
The work of the Lord is right
there. The work of the Lord is right in your home.
Uh-huh. And a lot of times we as women are missing out on that.
Mm-hmm.
Because we think it's always at the church house, and your home is going down the drain.
Going down the drain. Going down the drain.
When everybody's going down the drain.
Mm-hmm.
Because you think the work of the Lord is somewhere else.
Now, you know, that's right. When my mom just said, going down the drain, I'm going to tell you, and this is the Holy Spirit. Y'all can disagree with me on this, whether, you know, if you want to. But I immediately heard a song. That's because the world doesn't have a monopoly on music. I heard this song, but I want to turn that around to when we don't allow the Lord to come in into our home, into our daily life, into that place of we acknowledge him first, we're going to go down. Like the lady said, I'm going down. Because God's not around, my whole world's upside down. That's what's going to happen. Our whole world will be upside down. The Lord ain't in the picture, but we're getting ready to go meet him because we say we're going to this revival and we're going to bring the house down.
But your house is already down. Your house is already falling down. You don't even know what's back down here.
That's right.
And we would know where we belong. We would know this family structure
is so very important.
Yes.
It's so very important. It's important to God that we get that structure.
Mm-hmm.
And we're worshiping him right there.
Yes.
Why do we always feel like we're worshiping him? Because we're going out here praying for somebody. Yeah, that's good. Don't get me wrong now.
Mm-hmm.
I pray for people. But see, we've got to keep this balance. You can't always be running praying for people and you've got a cyclone at home. Pure disaster.
Pure disaster.
Wall-to-wall, instead of wall-to-wall carpet, you have wall-to-wall hell.
Uh-huh. Say it, Mama.
Hell in the kitchen, you go in the bathroom, the hell's in there. Hell's all through the house. But you're out ministering and praying and laying hands.
And coming back home, going through.
Coming back home and going through. You're going to stay going through.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't get it straightened out of who you are in the Lord.
That's right.
You're going to always be going through.
See, y'all thought I was something. My mom is super bad. Isn't she on point out there? And I see, thank you so much, my dear sister. This is your mom, Fanny. This is your mom up here today. And she's looking forward to meeting you.
Oh, yes.
Fanny says, loving the broadcast today. Amen in Jesus' name. Excellent, sis. Amen, Mama. Preach the word.
So you can talk to Fanny.
Thank you, Fanny. Pray for me. I'd love to meet you. I hope I will meet you. Get to meet you very soon. Heard a lot about you.
Uh-huh.
Love you, Fanny.
And so this is a powerful, powerful broadcast today. I am going to keep this one on for the rest of the month. I will just let it recur. Each week we're just going to play it. We're just going to play it for the month of March in honor of my mommy. And just so others can be encouraged, because this is what it's all about. My mom has been keeping the house for, how long, Mom?
We've been married 59 years, May 17th.
59 years,
May
17th.
Mm-hmm.
And so what other woman?
Same man, y'all ladies.
Oh, say that again.
Quite a challenge.
The same man for 59 years.
Quite a challenge.
And she says it's been quite a challenge. So, you know, she is wise. Who else would I have other than my mommy to talk about this topic today? I just honor her. I love my mommy. Love my dad. Shout out to Bishop Moses Lee Davis Sr. He is in the living room there. Love you, Dad. I thank God for you. And because without you and mommy, I wouldn't be here. So I love you and I thank God for you, Daddy. And so... that's right, Sister Fanny. She says to you, Mama, teach us about men.
Oh, yeah. I've got quite a story. I need to write a book. Because one of our greatest ministry is the men in our lives.
That's right.
And I think a lot of times we have neglected that area, too. And we're always saying how hard-headed they are, how that man is such a thing. But a lot of times it's us. And I have to admit that.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the problem sometimes lies in us, you raw women out there.
Mm-hmm.
It's in us. Because a lot of times we nag too much.
Mm-hmm.
We really talk too much. We have a tendency not to let things go.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes with the men, we really need to give them to the Lord in prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times with prayer and not running our mouth so much, the Lord can turn things around. You can't turn it around.
That's right.
We know we can't turn it around. But we're like a dog with a bone.
Mm-hmm.
I can say that because I know I'm 79 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Been married almost 59 years. And I'm not a perfect woman. Neither are you. None of us.
That's right.
And I think that's one thing about most of us women. We need to learn to let things go. And really, we tell other people, give it to the Lord. But do we really give things to the Lord? No, we don't. We give it to him and we go and take it back. We give it to him today and the next 2 days you go and take it back.
Mm-hmm.
And put it in your hands.
Mm-hmm.
If you can take care of it, why ask the Lord anything?
That's right.
So when you ask the Lord, you give it to the Lord, leave it there.
Okay.
That's one thing we need to learn is to leave it there.
Okay, we have a question. Okay, Sister Fanny says, teach us, Mama, how to keep a husband for that long. And she says, okay, she says she can't wait to read your book that you are going to write so we can learn.
Well, you know, communication
It's very, very important. And I would say a lot of times knowing how to be silent, and I think I said that a little while ago, not really talking too much, not really pushing too much, really learning to lean on the Lord. And I learned something in my lifetime to never, this may sound a little ludicrous, but don't separate yourself and start going into another room and leaving your husband. That is not good. My husband and I talked about that, and we decided that we would stay in the bed together no matter what. Because I used to have a tendency to get out of the room and say, well, I'm getting out of his bed. I'm going to lay on the couch. And we talked about that. That's how the devil really comes in. And quickly get the argument together. You may have a little argument, but quickly get it together. Don't let it linger. Sometimes you may have to apologize when you mm-hmm. really think you're right. Mm-hmm. But what does it hurt to just say, I'm sorry?
Mm-hmm.
It goes a long way sometimes. You have to put your pride aside. And really, to tell you the truth, women, it's kind of hard for us, but really the burden of proof really shouldn't be on us
mm-hmm.
as far as trying to keep a relationship going. But actually, it is mostly in our laps.
Yes.
It's mostly in our laps, which bothers us from time to time because we get very frustrated about that. I do myself. But it is mostly in our laps a lot of times.
Just 1 second. We're going to call my dad.
Residence.
Hello, we're calling Bishop Moses Lee Davis Sr.
Yes, hold on please for the bishop.
Praise the Lord. Hello.
Hello, Bishop.
Praise Bishop the Lord. Praise the Lord.
This is my dad and my mom's husband, of course, Bishop Moses Lee Davis Sr. And we just welcome you to Wake Up to Royalty. Our topic is about Mary and Martha and how Jesus said that Mary chose the good part or the good portion and that it was needful. And so we're talking about that, and we're also sharing, Mommy is sharing about how our first work is in the home. Before we go running out and neglecting our home, make sure we're doing our first work, which is ministering in our home. Daddy, you want to just greet us and whatever you want to say, the listeners are listening.
Well, greeting to all the listeners in the Lord. There's so much can be said on this topic. From the husband perspective, I talk to the husbands to let them know that the husbands should always have the last word in the home. He's the head of the house, and he should always have the last word. And if he learned to conquer self, he will have the last word. And what do you suppose the last word is? Yes, honey. That will solve every problem. There's no way the husband can continue or even keep up arguing with the wife. Best thing, husband, is to say, yes, honey, and go to sleep. Because if you don't say that, the next morning when you get up, it's there again. You can't win. Yes, honey, you are right. Yes, honey. And that solves it every time. Your marriage will succeed. Tell the young ones to practice that. Not with spite or malice, but practice that with love. It'll work every time. God bless the listeners far and near.
Thank you, Daddy. I love
you're
you.
You're welcome. Continue to work.
And you have people saying hello to you.
God bless
they're
you. Hello back
hello
to all the listeners.
They said they're loving you. And,
I love
and,
you back.
And,
I can feel your love. I love you back.
Someone else says they're splitting their offering with you and Mama now.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
And we have your daughter, one of your daughters from Atlanta. She says, I love you, Dad. She's loving the bishop. She
all
says
right.
She loves the guest, honey.
All right. That'll work every time. It'll work every time.
Okay. Thank you so much for coming on the air, Daddy.
You're welcome.
Love you so much.
I trust that these few remarks would help some families stick together and stay together.
Oh, yes, it will.
All right. Be blessed, y'all.
Thank you. Bless you.
Okay.
Well, wasn't that wonderful? I'm going to call my own husband and tell him to listen to what his father-in-law just said. You definitely can have the last word, honey. I humbly submit to that. My mom was wording that what he was going to say. I didn't know what she was saying, but she was wording that before he said it.
That's what he advises all the men.
So I see now that I can make a few calls. So, Fanny, I'm going to, let's see, Fanny, give me your, inbox me your number really quickly so I can call you.
We have pastors out there. Pastors with.
Mm-hmm.
I think we need to talk more about family.
Well, my mom is saying she has a word to pastors out there and to just bring that into the teaching that they have. So I'm going to let my mom talk from there, and then, Fanny, we will get you on the line.
Yes, to any of the pastors out there who might be listening, the bishop here includes from time to time a lot of things about family. We had a young man who used to come straight from his job to the prayer meeting, and the bishop talked to him and said, "You haven't seen your family today since you left this morning.
Mm.
Don't you come to this prayer meeting again like this. You go home."
That's right.
And I think a lot of times if some of the pastors would address more of this, because pastors have to understand family themselves.
Yeah.
But a lot of times the pastor's family, well, I'm going to say it.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times the pastor's family have been neglected.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the pastor's particular stature.
Right.
In other words, we need to get this family thing together. I know of a pastor who didn't go to see his son's plays or him playing his football. Well, he really wasn't pastoring. He was one of the assistants at the church because mostly all the time it was on a church night.
Mm-hmm.
But he needed to be where his son was.
Yes.
He needed to support his son sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we've gotten things a little mixed up.
That balance again.
And I think if more pastors would speak about this in balance, yeah, we want the people to come to church and be at church at a given time. But also the people have to know that at times that is a good reason, a good excuse.
Mm-hmm.
If your children are somewhere in a play or it's a parent-teacher's meeting or the man hasn't been home all day,
mm-hmm.
And then he
mm-hmm.
runs to church, and he doesn't even call his wife. He doesn't even go mm-hmm. home and say, "Are you living or are you dead?"
Mm-hmm.
I think we need to get back to family,
mm-hmm.
things of the family, because like I said before, the family was before the church. And I would challenge the different pastors out there to do some training and some teaching really on our family life,
yeah.
because the family structure is weakened considerably here
mm-hmm.
in our world today.
Yeah, it is. Mm-hmm. It is, Mom. That was really good. Dee, are you there? Dr. Dee?
Yes, Dr. Dee is here.
Dee, would you like to share on what our mom just said or our dad just said?
I love what our dad just said. That was hilariously correct. I love that. And also what Mom said, I believe there is a balance that has to be, and even for myself as a woman in full-time ministry, with a covering husband supporting, I have to also be mindful of that balance that I know how to attend to the needs of the home, personal needs of my husband, and have that healthy balance with the kingdom of God always being foremost. We know that, but the intelligence that God gives us to take a balance check. And some Apostle Angela, someone asked us recently, how do we do that? I'm sure you remember that comment. They said, how do we not burn out? Do you remember them asking us that?
I remember that. Mm-hmm.
And we said to them, we know how to take a time out.
We know how to take time for ourselves. We know how to have a chill. We had so much fun on the road even getting here. So we believe it's all in the balance and knowing how to yet be balanced and keep the joy of the Lord always, always ready to minister, always ready to give an answer. But even in the midst of going to the carnival, which I love, the Ferris wheel, the popcorn, the candy corn, always having an answer in me in the midst of even having a good time, if that makes sense. Amen?
It does. It makes a lot of sense. And it just is so powerful to understand that all of that, all that we're doing in our daily life is necessary, but there's one thing that's needful.
Yes, yes, yes.
Which is different from necessity.
Can you
speak on that, Dr. D?
Well, needful to me, are we going back to Mary?
Yes, we are.
Yes. Jesus said to her, she chose the good part. And I believe that some people have misconstrued that and have left the art of serving. I heard you say earlier about where are the women that are dedicated to making the wonderful meals. And we see that the restaurants are full because there's something lacking and no one's cooking. Yeah, I think it's gone.
You're calling in. Another caller on the line, and we're calling in. Yes, hi. This is Apostle Angela. How are you?
Okay, I heard the phone ring, so I picked it up. Hi, Apostle. This is Veronica.
God bless you. I wanted to make sure I had to learn how to call people in on the switchboard because I'm not doing Skype today. But it's still a way, praise the Lord, to get people on the line. So have you been listening in, Prophetess?
No, I actually tuned in about 10 minutes ago, and I heard Dad,
okay.
And I heard Mom.
Okay,
I
great.
I thought that was very good about the final answer. So, yeah.
That's right. That final answer, uh-huh. That's funny. That's right. But we're talking about the M&Ms. We're talking about Mary and Martha and how one chose a needful portion, chose that needful area of ministry. And we've been talking about juggling housework, home, you know, a career, family, children, you know, husbands, wives, all those things, but we still have to find our place in worship in our daily life. So just from that, you may share your heart on that subject there, whatever you want to share about that. How do we do all of that as women of God? This can go to men too, but because we're women of royal destiny, to us first, how do we juggle all of that and still find that place of worship in our daily life?
Okay, well, first of all, I'm going to take it from a singles perspective because And my concentration, I was just thinking about this the other day, that we are raising, there's a generation that is coming up now that don't know how to do any of those things that Martha did. But yet, they want to the experience of marriage. So,
that's good.
We've lost the art. I want to know where are the mothers in the church, because we can't expect the kids to raise the kids. We've lost
that's
the mothers
right.
in the church. Because it's the mothers that's going to help groom the Marcus.
Let me repeat something so my mother can hear that. She had to walk out for a moment. She's back now. Can you just repeat that lost art that's missing from? She said from a single woman's perspective, she wants to address some things. Can you repeat that again, please, Prophetess Veronica?
We've lost where are the mothers in the church, because we can't expect the kids to raise themselves. And we've lost the art of teaching this young generation to be the markers. We've lost the art of training the young ladies how to be the Marys. But we need the mothers to come back to the church and take their proper places. Because this generation that we're raising now, they want to be married. But my question to them a lot of times is, sweetheart, what are you going to do when you get married? Because you can't stay in the bed always. You got to
that.
Get up.
Mm-hmm.
So what are you going to do when you get up? You can't balance a checkbook. You can't cook. You don't know how to run your household. So, okay, well, then you need to be mentored. Of course, they're going to kick and scream and not want to be mentored, but this is our job as women of mothers in the church, of mothers in Zion, to raise them whether they want to be raised or not.
Church not doing that now.
Right. So what do you say to the missing mothers of Zion? There's a lot of missing mothers of Zion.
I
want to
be young.
A lot of missing mothers.
They're missing. Somehow they've been either felt that they didn't have a place any longer because of all of the new things that's happening in the new generation that's coming forth. Like, instead of the choir and the senior choir, they're no longer. We don't see that, because what was put before us is this: what you should be doing is having five people for a praise and worship team, and that's it. Let's just talk about those things. And so then you had the missing choirs. And then you had the arts moving in that area first to start moving from music. And it became a smaller group, and it was like, this is what we should do, and we should have everybody, synced in color and right here at the mics and in the front down here. So there was no longer senior choirs. And so gradually the mothers began to move. Mm-hmm. There was like almost like pushing them aside.
And it is. It we absolutely pushed them out of the church when we transitioned and wanted to be the popular church, and we wanted to draw people in through advertisement and popularity instead of drawing them in by the Holy Spirit, because it's
that's
the Holy
right.
Spirit that's going to build the church and not through advertisement.
Mm-hmm.
Advertisement
exactly.
is not evangelizing.
Mm-hmm. So
and
how do we get the mothers back? How do we get the mothers back? Because myself, I'm 50 years old, but I'm a mother of Zion, and I'm mentoring, and I'm training them up. I've been training women up in ministering in the home from, I guess, the 90s when I was in Detroit, Michigan. I would have women that came over, and we would study the Sunday school lesson, but I would say, I want you to bring a bag, a 5-pound bag of flour, and bring a pan, and we're good, and bring up one package of yeast.
Mm-hmm.
That was the only three things they bought. We made rolls, and we studied our Sunday school lesson.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next time they came, we had, because what I was doing was teaching them from Titus 2, 3, and 4.
Mm-hmm.
I was being that aged woman, teaching them to be keepers of home. But the
mm-hmm.
Lord did it the way it was familiar to me, or comfortable for me, or understood to me. So I did it that way. And each time they would come, every once a week, they were the young women in the church just getting married, some were single, and I was teaching them how to make a dish. By the time we finished this program, we graduated from it. We had a big service and everything from this program. It developed into a school.
Mm-hmm.
But I started with just a few ladies coming together. We're going to study Sunday school. We're going to make a dish. So we made
mm-hmm.
rolls. Then the next time we made macaroni and cheese. Then the next time we did chicken. Then the next time we did a vegetable. Then we did a dessert. Then we did a beverage. And then we had all of the husbands, family members, whoever they wanted to bring for their graduation in our home. And they cooked the whole entire meal. And they served their family members. Okay, that's what I did. So I've been doing that for years. But how do we get the mothers of Zion back in the church? Because I know a lot that are at the home. They're in their home and watching Sunday morning service on TV.
And that's where you're going to have to reach them, because what has happened is the dynamics have changed quite a bit. The age dynamic has changed to where you have grandmothers of age 35, 40-year-old grandmothers. So people like yourself, people like myself are going to go back and have to pull the older generation in and allow them to feel welcome. We're going to have to go and get both generations and bring and bridge the gap. And we're going to have to also appeal to the leaders of the church and ask them or appeal to them and allow them to change their way of thinking and allow that generation to come back in the church and help them understand that they do have a place here, because without them, this church is not going to be successful.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're the ones who held us accountable. They're the ones who were not afraid to challenge us. They're the ones that were not afraid to speak up and tell us when something was going wrong. And we need that balance. No child likes boundaries, but they appreciate them.
Uh-huh.
And so there are a lot of grown people in body, but they're spiritually crippled. because they have not been, they have not allowed themselves to be mentored and raised or trained. So we're going to have to bridge that gap.
Well, we thank you, Prophetess Veronica, for calling in, and I'll keep listening in. We're going to open the lines up for more callers to come through. But my mother, First Lady Evangeline M. Davis, she is an elder of the church, and she is definitely challenging the pastors out there. She's challenging the pastors to
Amen.
Make this way. And so I'm going to bring my mother back on the line. And thank you again, Prophetess Veronica. I was just sharing with everyone how you opened up your home for us to have a true rest stop. This was the it was just, I can't even get the words out, because when we walked into your home, the presence of the Lord grabbed us.
Amen.
We didn't even walk into the presence. The presence of the Lord grabbed us and pulled us in. We
Amen.
Couldn't even walk in. It was a demand put on our lives to enter into his presence. And it was a quick thrust. And I knew the prayer of the righteous was availing much in that home. Your home is a haven to those that are not just traveling, but those that need to find that place of worship. And that's what we're talking about. All of the other things we're doing, we still must have a place, must find our place in worshiping the Lord in our daily life. And it was such soaking music, the soaking music, and I had such prophetic dreams, and an angel of the Lord met me at my bedside and covered me with a mantle. So much happened in your home, and it was just what I needed to get here. So thank you. I'm so glad you're on the line. And we need to tell Dr. D that Prophetess Veronica, her friend, is on the line. You can tell D that, Mama.
Okay.
She doesn't know she's on the line. Ask D to pick the phone up again.
Mm-hmm.
And so we just thank you. I'm so glad you're on the line so we can publicly thank you. And the whole world can hear this. The nations can hear us. Give God the glory for you opening up your home to us. To just rest and recover. I mean, she had the best, what is it called, a jet stream ski something. I thought I was on skis one time in that tub. She had the best sauna tub thing, whatever it is. It was wonderful, hot, soaking. We got there at 2:15 in the morning, people. People of God, 2:15 in the morning we arrived in her home. And she stayed up and served us 2:15 in the morning up until 4, making sure we're comfortable. Opening up, not just opening her home and say, oh, yeah, y'all can stay tonight. See y'all late in the morning. I'm going to sleep. Yeah, make yourself at home. No, she prepared her home for us. And we just honor the Lord in you for doing that
Amen.
For us. And the
Amen.
Tea. When we, you know, I said I wasn't coming through. I was driving straight through. Look. I might just have to stop by because this loose tea and the German salt, I mean German sugar,
German rock sugar.
It looks like small little pieces of rock candy. Let me tell you, that was the best tea I've ever had. And I believe it has something to do with her giving herself over to the Lord to minister to his people. It was, I don't care. If I go and get that, it probably won't taste like it tasted in her home. And I thank God for your life. I speak blessings of abundance upon your life. And I speak blessings of your son in Australia, that the Lord just continues to move upon his life, and he excels greatly and speedily in the things that is of his heart's desire. And I just give God the glory for your life.
Amen. I appreciate that. God bless you. I receive every word of it.
God bless you, too. Well, keep listening in. We're going to go off the line with you, and I'm going to pull someone else on. But I thank God for you.
Amen. And I look forward to you stopping through anytime.
Oh,
my house is open.
Thank you so much. And tell the lamb hello.
Amen, I will. You have a wonderful day. God bless you.
You too. God bless you.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Well, people of God, I just thank God for what's going on today. I'm trying to get my sister Fanny on the line. I don't see you. Let's see. I don't see you. Call back. Go back to Blog Talk and click on so your number can come up on my switchboard, and then I can call you from there. We have about 34 minutes, and it seemed like we had so much time, 120 minutes. I was saying, ooh, what am I going to talk about? 120 minutes? This is the longest our broadcast has been on, and that's because I honor my mom and my dad, and I wanted my mom to have as much time as she needed. And so at this time, I'm going to turn it back over to her to say whatever it is she wants to say to us. And she's challenging the pastors out there. So I'm going to take a moment and go on Facebook. Yeah. And also, will you contact someone, tell the pastors to come on the line. There is a challenge. The pastors and the missionaries, the woman of God is challenging you.
We're losing so much. We're losing so much in our families now. And like I said before, the family was even before the church. And we have to bring some stability and balance and togetherness back in our families. And I challenge the pastors again to, I know you all are bringing the word, and you're bringing the word of the Lord, and I'm sure you do preach from time to time about families, but it is very important now that we get the message out as pastors to our families, that we create some stability and balance in our families. There are so many things that we as women have to juggle in our families, and pastors need to be probably more aware of what is going on in our families and the things that we have to do. And we as pastors, of course, want the people to attend our church and our meetings and everything so forth. But like I was saying before, if you have children, you have other commitments too, and you need to be involved with your children. Sometimes your husband might not even be saved, and he's involved in something, and you have to avail yourself for so many things. And I think we have lost the art of family and the love and the creativity that should be in the family, the stability, the balance. And I think we need to really take a closer look at that. Prophetess, what you say on this about the family and the art and the thing that's going on now that we're losing, and the seniors are missing, it seems, because a lot of the seniors don't want to be seniors, for one thing. Mm-hmm. A lot of them that are seniors, they want to be 16 again.
Yeah.
And some of them won't even attempt to go and pass on some of their wisdom. Then we have cases of some seniors are fearful because they are being rejected. Sometimes you might go to a person and they really get angry with you. Mm-hmm. So that sort of thing is going on. It's so much missing, because when I was coming along as a girl, anyone mm-hmm. in the church could come up and mm-hmm. say something to me, and I better listen mm-hmm. and say, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, yes, sir, no, sir, and I didn't have any word back. Mm-hmm. But now it seems that has kind of gone away mm-hmm. in the church, and we don't have the mothers. We have the mothers in there, and they have this wisdom, but it's not being shared. It's not being imparted for certain reasons, maybe for different reasons. And so I'm challenging also the missionaries in the church, the motherboard in the church, to let us get back to basics. Let us get back to the good old way, mm-hmm. the way it used to be. We're always talking about old school, but some of this old school needs to come back. Mm-hmm. Some of this old school that we had years ago definitely needs to come back.
Yeah.
Sometimes I like the new technology, and like my mother would say, the newfangled ideas, but some of the old way needs to come back in our churches. There's nothing wrong with that good old way. We need to go back to that old-time religion and that good old way.
Yeah.
and bring some stability. Call.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Praise God. Well, I'm calling Sister so she can come on. Hello?
Hello.
God bless you, my sister. I finally got you on the line. It took me a moment there. How are you?
I am just great and loving this broadcast. What a
isn't
blessing.
This wonderful broadcast?
What a blessing. Blessing. Greetings, First Lady.
Atlanta. First Lady, yes. This is your new daughter from Atlanta, Sister Fanny.
Sister Fanny, how are you?
I am truly blessed, and you all have truly blessed me today. It's amazing, amazing show, amazing.
Thank the Lord. Very impromptu because I wasn't prepared at all. This was
well, I was just really blessed with your wisdom today. Just something that we definitely need, and a lot of people need to hear it. So
yeah,
truly
I really
blessed me.
We need to go back to the old way. I don't know whether you heard that. But
yes,
I
ma'am,
about,
I did.
I really think that's missing. It's missing in our churches, the seniors, the wisdom that was imparted to me when I was coming along, you know.
Absolutely.
It's not in our churches anymore, so how can it be in our families?
Absolutely. I totally agree with you, and I think today that is definitely what the children are missing.
Mm-hmm.
And also the parents, because I remember, just like you said, and the other prophet said, the mothers in the church, we learn so much from them.
Learn.
And that's where we get our guidance, and that's what makes us who we are today. We were brought up in the church, and the children today are not brought up in the church. Their mothers have strayed from the church. So how can we expect anything different to happen than what we're seeing?
And in the churches, we've lost a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
In the churches.
Yes, ma'am.
So I don't expect so much of the people, of other people. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
when it's
ma'am.
So much in our churches, we've, you know, I had a sermon once about, you know, a ship. Long as the ship's on the ocean, it's fine. But don't let the ocean get in the ship.
Yes.
The church
awesome.
Is in the world. The church is in the world. But don't let the world get in church.
That's right. And do you know, when we were growing up, we learned so much from the church.
Mm-hmm.
We're not getting that now. I
no,
love what your daughter is doing because she is empowering us as women.
Mm-hmm.
And even the women that's under us need to hear what we're hearing from this woman of God.
Mm-hmm.
She's imparting so much into us. And it's people like her that's stepping out and taking that stance that's going to change how women think. And I'm so proud of her, and I am just so proud that God is using her in that way.
Yeah, me too. Isn't she wonderful?
She is wonderful. I am blessed to have met her, and she has blessed me so much with her wisdom and knowledge in just sharing that word, the word with me. She has truly empowered me, and what I learned from her, I share with others. And one day, I just hope that she will be speaking to masses and masses of women because people need to hear.
Wouldn't that be wonderful?
I see it happening in the name of Jesus.
Women of all ages have so much in common.
Yes.
I don't care how old you are or how young, but we need to stop long enough to not attack each other and be so critical of each other, you know, and come together. We would be a tremendous force.
That's right.
A tremendous force. We turn the world upside down.
That's right.
But
yeah.
But there's so much division a lot of times with women. We have too much pettiness sometimes among us, too much
bickering, and we're not seeing the whole picture, how much we have in common, because we are women from every walk of life, or whatever position you're in. We have so much in common. We would come together, we would be a force to be reckoned with.
Amen.
Angela.
Amen, because you're both of us. Mm-hmm. Amen, and I see that my, I call her my queen sister, has called in. I'm getting ready to dial her and bring her in on this call today. We have about 24 minutes left, and I just want to encourage all Women of Royal Destiny members to let someone else know about this broadcast today, M&M's, Mary and Martha, and how is it expedient and it's important to choose that needful part, that portion that is of worship. Even in our daily life, it's fine to be in the kitchen, it's fine to do those things, but let's not neglect the obligation and duty to the Father to come into the place of worship, to worship Him, and to get into that place where we're guided daily in our walk with Him in every area of our life, in all our ways. Acknowledge Him, and He shall direct our paths. But we must trust Him with all our heart, which is our mind, with our very thoughts, with our ways. Okay? We have to trust Him with our whole heart. Before we do a thing, we have to consult the Lord. You know, and just like my mother said, and I admonish all to go back and listen to this broadcast again. In all our ways, acknowledge Him. He shall direct our path. But my mother said something very key earlier. And First Lady Evangeline M. Davis, she said to us to make sure that we take time out for ourselves. Take time to celebrate who we are. Take time to do some things that's going to relax us and is going to help us and lift us up so we can give more out to our families, those that have families, those that have husbands, those that have children, those that have themselves. And it's a great, wonderful thing to be single in this time, because there's such a greater thing you can do, because you don't have the other juggling things or those duties that married women have, but you also have a lot going on in your life. So we acknowledge that, and we see that. We see the need for you having help as well. And so we don't want to miss that place of a woman being single, because we might think, oh, you can just do whatever you need to do. You don't have the kids to deal with. You don't have the husband to deal with. You can just do. But even as single women today, because of such a great need that people have, we see the single women pouring out, pouring out, pouring out, pouring out, pouring out. And they feel that sometimes they don't have those times that they need to take a break, because they're working just as hard as those that are married. And so we're dealing with juggling the duties of housework, careers, of family, of children, of ministry, and still we must choose that good portion, that good part. We must find worship in our daily life. So we thank you. At this time, I'm going to take my sister Fanny off the line, and I'm going to call in on our Queen Sister Apostle Serena Watkins, and let me just call you at this time. And we are just enjoying ourselves in the Lord today.
Amen.
God is so awesome. He's so worthy. Worthy of praise and honor and glory. And we are so excited in Jesus. So excited. Let me call my queen sister. See if.
Hello.
God bless you, Queen Sister Serena. It's an
God
angel.
Bless you. God
Apostle
bless you.
Serena Watkins.
Amen.
And this is a wonderful day for you to call in. I kind of tried to do a little recap there so you could jump right on in there about that lifestyle of Mary and Martha and how, you know, sometimes we've heard so many beat up on Martha. That was something needed, that she was serving Jesus too.
Amen.
Both of them were serving him. She served in the capacity that she knew,
but it was some other thing. She had a lot of things on her mind as well. And Jesus said that. He spoke to her. He told her, well, you know, you have a lot on your mind. But
Amen.
Mary has chosen that needful portion, that area that she really needs right now in her life. She needs that right now. So I want
Amen.
You to choose that too, but right now this is what she needs. And that's where we are. And so I just want you to come and greet us. And here is your new spiritual mom, First Lady Evangeline M. Davis. And we knew we were going to get you together with her, but we didn't know how soon.
Amen. Amen. First of all, I'd like to say greetings to Mother Davis. I love the wisdom and the tone in your voice. It is filled with such grace and dignity, firmness, and class. So I greet you in the name of the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, on today. That's first in order. Then I give thanks for the two lovely daughters that you have reared in the faith, Apostle Dee and Apostle Angela. They are such great women and a joy to be around. They have such awesome spirits, and they just make the baby of God in me leap when I'm in their company. I enjoy them so much. And to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ this morning, who woke us up and started us on our way, I give praise to His Majesty. It's such an awesome time. I'm coming out of spa prayer, so you guys caught me at a great time, a great time. What I mean by spa prayer is, I mean, I took some time to myself, tying into the word today. I took some time to myself, and I just stole away in God and just began to just bask in the water and in the bubbles, and I began to hear God. And as I began to pray, amen, I began to just allow God to take my spirit to an ascended place, whereby I even began to just imagine in my little girl's mind the bubbles being the clouds in the sky, in the heavens, and I was ascending above those clouds, reaching measures that are needful in order for me to be a blessing in the earth realm. And tying into the topic on today, I just heard in my spirit after Mother got through speaking, I just clearly heard, when we learn to serve each other, when we learn to serve one another, Apostle Billings, that's when the Spirit of God can come in and begin to relieve us of unnecessary stress, burdens, and battles. When we, like Mother said, we come learn to come together. But when we come to the realization of the reality that we do certainly indeed need each other, instead of criticizing one another or criticizing someone else, like Mother said, for working harder or not working as hard, we need to keep in mind that our first and foremost calling is to minister of our substance before the Lord. Because if we don't pour out to Jesus and don't allow Him to pour back in, we won't have anything to give out to other people. Because
That's right.
This life alone, this world, it can make you insane if your mind is not covered in the anointing.
Mm-hmm.
I truly have certainly been through a lot of challenges, extreme challenges in my lifetime, where I should have lost my mind. And in trying to maintain ministry and all that God had called me to be as an individual woman, and to be able to contribute that, I had to abase myself and take time to pull away from everything that I felt was important. There's nothing more important than stealing away with the Lord. I love Mother's first name. Her first name is Evangeline, and I take revelations out of people's names. Evangeline means, in its essence, evangelist, evangelistic. And what she was saying today was outreaching to other women and other people, reminding us that our hearts need to be in the right place, admonishing our hearts to be in the right place. And this is what we have to come back to. Juanita Bynum, I'm going to say this, I'm going to be quiet. Juanita Bynum came out with a book years ago called Matters of the Heart. And what the church has got to realize is that our issues stem from the heart. Because the word of God said, the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So whatever's in our heart, that's what's going to come out of our mouth. And some people say, oh, I didn't mean to say that. Oh, that was a mistake. I didn't mean to say that to you, sister. I didn't mean to cut you down. You may not have meant it because you're now looking at the results. But guess what? That's what's in our heart. That's what's in your heart. Because if you spoke it, it was in your heart to say it, or it was bleeding in your spirit. So we got to keep in mind that in loving each other, we need to stand back and study one another too. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved. Study to be quiet. Know those that labor among you. Knowing and learning each other is what we need to take time out to do. And then we won't be so abrasive or quick to judge, condemn, or try to snatch somebody out of a place that they're already in with God. Amen. Thank you for the opportunity.
Oh, you're welcome. I love you so much.
Amen. Beautiful.
You want to say something to her mama before she goes off?
Beautiful. Wonderful words. Wonderful words.
Amen.
Really inspired you.
Amen. I'm so excited.
Sarita.
Yes, ma'am.
Beautiful words.
Thank you.
I agree with you wholeheartedly.
Amen. Amen.
Hope
Thank
I
you so much.
Meet you at some point.
It will be an honor. It will be a sheer pleasure to meet you in person. I believe that the way you gain more wisdom is to go around the wise.
Thank you so much. I'm trying.
Well, you know, you haven't lived all this time and don't have anything to contribute. I'm sure there's a lot of treasures in your chest, a lot of gems in your jewelry box that you could give out. But some of us retarded acting younger women just need to sit down and take time to listen to it.
Amen. We were talking about that a few minutes ago.
We got too many ornery spirited women in the body of Christ, Mother. Too many ornery spirit, wild spirit. Don't want to hear nothing.
Some of them don't want to hear anything. I was saying that. And then you have some seniors who don't want to be in the senior role.
Yes, ma'am. They
but
want to be
have
foxes.
A lot of seniors who would impart, but the younger ones are so belligerent and have such an attitude towards them.
Amen. Well, you know what? We cannot, the Bible says, esteem the elder women as mothers. That's the word.
Mm-hmm.
We can't glean wisdom from just anyone because a person even, I posted this today on Facebook, just because a person has age doesn't necessarily mean they're wise. Because I've seen some old women walk down the street drunk. And then, like the Bible said, he that pisses against the wall, they walk out and see pissy. Then peed all over theyself, staggering, on crack, foolishness. Older women.
In other words, you have some immature Christians.
Yes, and that's right, Mother. But for those of you who are in the midst of Zion, we can still draw and glean, and we will last longer if we do. Some of us don't want that anymore, that wisdom. Because, you know, people are so much with church in the now. But how in the world are you going to have church in the now if you don't know where you're being?
You don't know where you've been. You don't know who you are.
That's right. You have to have identity. Who are you? The question is, who are we today? Who are we? What are we? Amen. We're putting everything on Jesus. We're putting everything on Jesus, Mother. We want Jesus to be our excuse and our escape, but we are to conform to the ways of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
You see, it's a conformity, which means that there's something that we have to do too.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
We just can't slap Jesus' name on everything and hide behind it. No, you can put on a white dress and don't bathe, you're still going to be funky. That don't make you clean.
Amen.
Amen.
So, you
Amen.
Know, put on clean clothes and don't bathe.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
That's
people
are
gonna know
dirty.
The truth once the heat get turned up, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, I love the topic today, and I'm so honored to be a part of it.
Praise the Lord.
God bless you, Queen Sister.
God bless you.
We speak blessings over you. Thank you for coming on.
Thank
well,
you.
Praise
Bye-bye.
The Lord. God bless you. God bless. We just thank the Lord for today's topic. We have about maybe 12 minutes, maybe about 10 minutes. 57 seconds to be exact, on the line today. And I just love you all. I speak blessings of favor upon your lives and to find your place in worship today. This is what the topic has been about. It's finding your place in worship.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing who you are, knowing that the Father seeks such to worship him. He's
mm-hmm.
looking for true worshipers
Amen.
To worship him in spirit and in truth. And you know, yes, we are to do the things, to be keepers of home, to be taught those things.
but we also must walk in the blessing of serving the Lord in worship and being in that place where we're crying out unto the Lord to show us his way, give us his mind on things, and give us his thoughts on what we're doing in our lives. And so that's what we are talking about today, and we just honor all those that called in, all those that I called and learned something new today, because I kept praying. I just kept praying to the Lord, Lord, show me how to do this. Something was wrong with it, and I said, Lord, I don't have time to go and call anyone. Lord, you show me. And he showed me. So I was able to use a cell phone but still call people in onto the cell phone. So I thank the Father for that. I just speak blessings over your lives. I pray that you've been blessed today with our broadcast. And at this time, I'm going to turn it over to my mom, First Lady Evangeline M. Davis, for her closing remarks or anything else she wants to share with us today. And just on way of announcements, our monthly fellowship is the third Saturday of this month. I will be back in Alabama for our monthly fellowship on the 17th at noon Central Time in Valley, Alabama at the Holiday Inn Express. But in May, we will be back in Norfolk, Virginia for our first Women of Royal Destiny meeting in Norfolk, Virginia. And we will give you more details on hotel accommodations if you desire to come. And what we will be meeting here the first Saturday of May. And so I gave you just a taste of the wisdom just in your hearing today of our guest speaker for our first meeting in Norfolk, Virginia, which will be none other than my beloved mother, First Lady Evangeline M. Davis. She will be our guest speaker for our first monthly fellowship here. And it's actually not the first one we've had in Norfolk, Virginia. My mom was my first speaker here many years ago in the 90s. And then I had to move right after that. We moved. And so now we're back. We're back here. And I thank the Lord that we're more established now. And we're looking forward to that fellowship in May. So keep those announcements in mind, Women of Royal Destiny International. I speak blessings over you and your household, that your barns will be filled with plenty so that you may give to the nations. I love you all. In the hands of my mom, and then we'll be back for a closing prayer.
Remember, Women of Royal Destiny out there, you are the King's daughter. You are the daughter of the King. So it means you are royalty. And I quote, the devil can't touch royalty. So the devil can't touch you. The devil cannot touch you today. In all the things that you have to do, remember, God is going to be with you in all your endeavors if you trust him. But I think Prophetess Billings was stressing that you have to trust him to be in that place of worship and praise that you need to be. You need to know who you are. And I'd like to just break a little English and say, and know who you be. And know who you be. Then you can be where you're supposed to be. In that place of worship and praise. Because you will be open to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will guide you and teach you. You will know instinctively where you are supposed to be, what you are supposed to be doing, if you just trust God. So have faith in God today, and remember, you're the daughter of a king.
Hallelujah to God. Father, we thank you, and we declare your word has been released into the atmosphere today to the nation. Oh, God, we thank you right now for all that you've done. And what you're about to do, God, seal your word by your Holy Spirit in us today, oh God, that we will always remember what was said on this day. God, we glorify you. We lift you up high above every situation that's going on in our lives. We honor you. We reverence you for who you are in Jesus' name. God bless you one and all.
He who dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow. You clear.